Hi, this is Andrew Corbett, and we're about to continue looking at building a covenant community. This time, it's lesson four, love one another with brotherly affection. Well, a Bible study group can be much more than simply studying the Word and gaining some intellectual insight into God's Word. It can also be a great opportunity, a great time to connect with each other at a deeper level than perhaps meeting together on a Sunday affords us. And so this is a great opportunity for your group to get to know each other a bit better, to hear each other's heart. And even that time of milling where you're inviting people to come in and have tea and coffee together and enjoy some cake or cookies or whatever it is you're having is also a time where you can fellowship together and share, you know, things that have been happening in the week. And this is actually important. I wouldn't diminish this at all. I wouldn't think this is just the get it out of the way bit until we can do the really important stuff. This is actually really important. So tonight's study continues along the same pattern. It's one sheet where if you print it out, it's just back and forward or back and both sides. And it's if you're just printing on single sheet, obviously it's two pages. And if you give it to the group prior to the study, then it allows them to go through and perhaps make some notes and collect their thoughts and so on. But this isn't always essential. You don't have to do it. Anyway, we are in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, and as we would normally do before starting a study, I would go around and ask two questions. What are you thankful for? And what would you like prayer for? This often leads people to share at a level where perhaps over the tea and coffee they haven't yet shared. And this is something that you as the group leader will have a pen and perhaps a separate notepad ready, and you're just perhaps jotting down initials or first name and just TF, you know, thankful for, and then perhaps have a PP, a prayer point, and you're just noting that down. Then at the end of the night, you read out the prayer points and ask people to pick one and pray for one of the prayer points that they heard tonight in the room. All right, Romans 12:10 and the first part of it, which is the title of this lesson, the title of this study, love one another with brotherly affection. The opening paragraph says this: the need to be loved is perhaps one of the greatest, if not the greatest, of human needs. Sometimes those who feel the least loved do things which make it difficult for them to experience genuine love. And Hollywood doesn't help. It is largely presented love in a very one-dimensional way. This is a distortion of the depth and the breadth of true love. Before we can begin to understand what brotherly love is and then to implement it, we need to understand that love necessarily comes in different varieties. After all, love is not love. At the time of the writing of the New Testament, the Greeks thought of love as being four different kinds. The four ancient Greek words for the English word, the one English word, love, were storge, which is a family love, like a mother's love for a child, eros, sexual expression of love between a man and a woman, phileo, brotherly love, like a friend's love for a friend. The Greek word for brother is Delphia, and so the city of Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Agape, it's God's love. This is unconditional, selfless devotion toward the other person's highest good. That's agape love. First question, what is involved in showing brotherly love? Consider Ephesians 4:32 and Colossians 3:12-14. And what you'll see there is that those scriptures talk about bearing with one another, putting up with each other's faults and flaws and mistakes, and learning how to forgive each other. Again, as we saw in our last study, hold fast what is good, that many of these aspects of building a covenant community with these 27 points, these 27 constitutional points that constitute a covenant community of believers, it ends up sounding like what a family looks like, and there's no accident to that. This is the stuff of family. Church is a family. So what's involved in showing brotherly love? Bearing with one another, putting up with each other's faults and flaws and mistakes, and learning how to forgive each other, not if we're offended, but when we're offended. Question two, if a fellow believer told you that they were struggling with respecting another believer, how might you help them to apply Colossians 3:13? And Colossians 3:13 says, which we would have just read, by the way, but it says this, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive, or so you also must forgive. So how might we help someone who's struggling to respect another believer? And that implies that there's a reason for them not to respect them. It implies that perhaps there's been some level of unforgiveness or offense or something like that that has happened. And so what we're asking, or what this believer is struggling with, is an aspect of something that perhaps has caused them to take offense and to maybe harbor hurt toward another believer. And how might we encourage them based on that passage? Well, we might encourage them to consider that they were like that to Christ, and Christ chose to forgive them. And because Christ has forgiven them, we are obliged to forgive others as well, as they offend us or as they've hurt us in some way. And that might be our encouragement toward them. By the way, we are to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us. And the question might be asked, how did God in Christ forgive us? Did he do it without us asking for it? Did he do it without us requesting it? And I think what we're hopefully going to discover is that God in Christ forgave us on the basis of us receiving his offer of forgiveness, us accepting his offer of forgiveness, us calling out to him and crying out to him for that forgiveness. So as we recognize that, we recognize that God in Christ forgave us when we sought him for forgiveness. Now, sometimes we think it's up to us to go up to someone and say, I just want you to know you really hurt me, but I've forgiven you. And that may be appropriate, but it rarely is. What is more appropriate is when we let go of our perhaps perceived right to revenge, which is the at the heart of forgiveness, and we don't seek to hurt them in any way in return for what they've done to us. That's how God forgave us, and that's how we are to forgive others. That's just by the way. Question three, how might we apply the then cultural intention of verses such as Romans 16:16, 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13:12, 1 Thessalonians 5:26, or 1 Peter 5:14 today, which basically says this, greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, how can we apply that today? And that would be something you'd put out to the group. Who's got some thoughts on this? Do you think that men should be going around our church kissing men? You know, how's that going to sound? Well, in a recent Bible study group that I was leading, and we're actually doing this study, and I put that question out there, one of the new Christians, a man, said, look, I'm really uncomfortable with the whole idea of kissing another man. And I said, well, I'm pleased to hear that. But still, the title of this study is Love One Another with Brotherly Affection. What does brotherly affection look like in your culture? What does it look like in our culture? In Australia, we certainly don't go kissing. Men don't kiss men cheek to cheek. Well, not at the moment anyway, they don't. How might this look culturally, showing some kind of affection? Well, it could be, and this is where the group discussion might land, it could be, you know, a bro hug or a genial hug without, you know, any other hint or suggestion of impropriety. It could be a side hug. It could be a handshake, just a nice warm handshake. It could be something like that. Anyway, interesting discussion. But since this scripture says we're to love one another with brotherly affection, I'd really want to know, what does that look like? What does affection look like in your culture, in our culture? Brotherly love, over the page, brotherly love among believers involves a higher degree of politeness than we might ordinarily show someone. One of the interesting things about how we relate to those we feel closer to is that we become more transparent with them. This involves how we feel and how we think. And by the way, those two aspects are the essence of what it means to be assertive as a person. I think there's a great need for people to understand the difference between assertive and aggressive. When you're able to politely share with someone what you're thinking and what you're feeling, you're asserting something. If you've ever wondered why those you're closest to will sometimes get the angriest with you, it's because of this principle that we are most transparent with those we are closest to. 1 Peter 3:8, this is question 4. How does 1 Peter 3:8 instruct us to show brotherly love? Well, that verse says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. And it shows that in relationships generally, in relationships with anyone, there's always going to be a need to show humility and to be able to forgive, to show understanding towards someone, to recognize, you know, people are going to have a bad day. Sometimes people are going to have a cranky day and we've just got to let it go. Don't harbor it. Don't be offended by it. Let it go. And that is part of showing brotherly love with you know, affection. Question 5, sometimes brotherly love involves bringing correction and interacting with members of the opposite sex. Note 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, and discuss these questions. Part A, how are we instructed to speak with those older than us? Well, particularly men. If it's a man correcting a man, it says this, encourage an older man, don't rebuke him. In other words, what's the apostle saying? If you have to correct an older man, do it by form of encouragement, not by form of rebuke, because that would be disrespectful. And respect for elders is a really big deal in the Bible. And part B, how are we to interact with members of the opposite sex? So how is a male to interact with older women? It says treat older women as mothers. What about younger women? Well, it says treat younger women as sisters and to do it in all purity. So sometimes church leaders have power, and haven't we seen that over the last few decades where it's come out how that power has been abused to sexually manipulate people? Well, Scripture says treat women as if they were either your mother or your sister. In 2 Peter 1:5, the apostle wrote to believers that they were to make every effort to supplement your faith with. And in verse 7, he lists brotherly affection. So he tells them to add brotherly affection to that list of virtues. Now, question 6, what do Peter's instructions in this passage tell us about the challenges of showing brotherly love? Well, it shows us, and hopefully this theme has come out as we've looked at the various scriptures about brotherly love, it requires humility. It requires the ability to be humble, and it also requires discipline, something you have to work at. Well, as we conclude this, we see that I've put a little scripture, postscript scripture, after the amen. You know, let it be, let there be a practical application of this. And that Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. And I think we've looked at that word let, where it's an instruction, not a polite request. It's an instruction. Let this happen. In other words, make sure this happens. Let brotherly love continue. As you've gone through that study and you've opened it up to different people to share, to read the scriptures, to be able to share their thoughts, involve people, even that quiet one sitting in the corner not wanting to participate, you can engage with them in a way that's non-threatening by bringing them into the discussion, asking for their opinion, and then commending them when they give it. At the end of the meeting, I recommend that you come back to that list of prayer points that you got at the start of the night. Remind everyone of what they were and have the group pray for each other's prayer needs. As you do this, you're building a closeness in the group and they're able to see the application of the very study that we're looking at. Well, I'm Andrew Corbett. Thanks for doing this study. I hope you are blessed from doing it.